If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to stephaniemiller.com to find out how.
Oh, we stumbled across this little tidbit from James Dobson today in Right Wing World.
The Christian, Judeo-Christian ethic is still very much a part of what we believe and what we stand for.
Yes.
And he just essentially trashed all of those who hold to traditional Christian views.
Barack Obama said James Dobson was making stuff up when he accused the Illinois Center of distorting the Bible and making the fruitcake interpretation of the Constitution. Any notion I was distorting the Bible in that speech, I think anyone would be hard-pressed to make that argument, Obama said. Dobson's spokesman said there's no need to make stuff up as it relates to Senator and Obama's interpretation of Scripture and the role of religion in the public square. His statements and record make clear his questionable perception of both.
He is
editing God's word to fit his liberal worldview, and the more exposure his views on these matters get, the more obvious this will become to the American citizen. Oh, if only there was somebody, some sort of expert that could chime in. What? Chris, who is it?
It's the author of God's Politics, Why the Right Gets It Wrong and the Left Doesn't Get It, the Reverend Jim Wallace.
He's our favorite. Good morning, Reverend Wallace.
Good morning, Stephanie. You're having too much fun here.
I get giddy when I get to talk to you, because I just think nobody speaks more clearly about the role of faith in our country than you do. What you got to give me your take. You wrote a great piece on this.
Well, it was astonishing, to be honest. First of all, the language. I mean, in a very divisive political, it's always that way in politics. So here's a religious leader, and he's as bad as or worse than anybody else. He's talking about motive and deliberately distorting, and he called a fruitcake interpretation. I don't know how he can speak this way. I mean, this is inappropriate language for our religious leader.
Yeah, exactly. That seems, unchristian would be the word that would come to mind.
Just to start. So then he should focus on the content. Well, I was at the speech. Barack Obama gave it at our conference 2 years ago, and Dobson was not, and he should have been there because he might have got it right. He got it completely wrong.
Yeah.
Barack Obama was, in fact, saying that people of faith ought to bring their moral convictions to bear in the public arena. And he was critical of, he said, some on the left and in his own Democratic Party who don't want religion to be anywhere near politics. He was saying that's a mistake. Then he said, but you got to do it in a way that is consistent with American pluralism, diversity, and democracy. And the way I put that is, you don't get to win just because you're a Christian.
Mm-hmm. You say in there that, he basically said religion has no monopoly on morality.
Which I say all the time. Of course that's true. So he was, in fact, defending the role of religion in public life, but saying, let's do it in a way that is consistent with American democracy. And Dobson says, that means we can't say anything unless everybody agrees with us. That's not what he said at all. So Dobson just got it wrong. And I think the real reason here, this speech got a lot of publicity 2 years ago, so James Dobson didn't just hear about it. I think the real reason is James Dobson and the religious right are very threatened right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because a number of people, a number of evangelicals, think the agenda is broader than just abortion and gay marriage.
Right.
That poverty and climate change and Iraq and health care are also moral issues, moral values issues, and they're on the agenda. And young evangelicals have a very different view than James Dobson about what's most important for Christians.
Yeah, well, that's very radical to actually talk about things that Jesus actually talked about, unlike things that he never talked about, like homosexuality.
I think a lot of younger evangelicals probably think Jesus cared more about the 30,000 children who died again today because of unnecessary poverty and preventable disease than he would about gay marriage amendments in Ohio.
Yep. Well, and that it reminds me, it's this changing of the guard, don't you think, Reverend Wallace? I think James Dobson, you're right, is the old guard. And, even the polls are showing evangelicals are not, just going to vote in mass for the Republican automatically anymore.
No, I just did this book, The Great Awakening, it's called. Times in history when great awakenings happen and people apply faith to the big issues like slavery and women's suffrage and civil rights and now poverty, climate change, and war and peace. And a great awakening is happening among a whole new generation. And these old leaders like Dobson are like old men in a river with the water up to their chest and their hands are in the air and they're saying, please, please stop. There's only two moral values issues. and the river of a new generation is running right past them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I've said that from, you know, day one. I really think this election has been more generational than it's been, you know, about gender or race necessarily. So, Reverend Wallace, tell me, I mean, it's interesting. A lot of people in this election are also saying that Barack Obama seems to talk more fluently, really, the language of religion, though, than John McCain does.
Well, I've known Barack Obama for 10 years when he was a lowly state senator.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this way back then, which proves he's not pandering to anybody here.
Mm-hmm.
He had actually a conversion experience. He was an organizer in the South Side of Chicago. He walked down the aisle one day at a black church and gave his life to God. And he had that experience. He thinks and reads and wrestles with these questions all the time. He's almost sometimes sounds like a public theologian, and he would claim he's not. He's a lawyer and an organizer and he's a political leader, but he gets the relationship between faith and politics, and he's been more comfortable, I think, as a Christian layperson than John McCain has. Now, mm-hmm. I want to say that shouldn't matter for voters. I mean,
right.
That doesn't matter if somebody's a churchgoer or not. You shouldn't have to be religious to be the president.
Right.
But it's good for the country that this time it's clear God is not a Republican or a Democrat, and that God's not on one side of the aisle or the other. That in fact people of faith can be on both sides of the aisle here, and people of faith belong in no party's political pocket. So John McCain does seem more uncomfortable than Barack Obama in church, but that's okay. But the sole idea that GOP means God's own party, let's put that one to rest.
Right, exactly. But although, you know, one of these days I am going to trick you into saying that God is probably more likely a Democrat, but that's... You're too smart for me. But, you know, you say in your piece, which I love, that Christians should offer the best moral compass to the nation, but then have to engage in the kind of democratic dialogue that religious pluralism demands.
Yeah.
You know, where does James Dobson or anybody get off sort of implying that we're a Christian theocracy, this country? We're not.
Well, you know, it almost sounds in his statement as though he thinks we should be. And, you know, this is the problem. I study and read the Bible, love the Bible, but the Bible's not supposed to be the foundation for the country, and the problem with that is it's always somebody's interpretation of the Bible. So James Dobson, he reads the Bible, and he comes up with two issues. I find 2,000 verses about poor people in the Bible, and that never comes into the agenda of the religious right.
Right.
So there, you know, it's always a matter of what you think, in fact, your faith means, and,
right.
and we're all invited to bring our best sense of our own moral compass to politics, and we should evaluate candidates by their moral compass, not by their doctrines, denominations, how often they go to church.
And Reverend Wallace, it seems to me that Barack Obama had said it perfectly in that speech. He said, which passages of Scripture should guide our public policy? Should we go to Leviticus, which suggests slavery is okay, that eating shellfish is an abomination? You know, I mean, he goes on to make a lot of good points. He said, before we get carried away, let's read our Bible now.
And he went on to say, and if you read the Sermon on the Mount, you're going to have a tough time running the Defense Department by the Beatitudes.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, what he's saying here is whose version gets to rule here.
Right.
He says, let's each of us bring our own conviction to bear, and he's done that. He wants his faith to shape his political values and leadership, and that's a good thing.
And you make a great point that maybe Martin Luther King did this best of all, you say, with a Bible in his one hand and the Constitution in the other.
He knew that he had to win the argument, win the debate about what's best for the common good, that he had to persuade a nation that a civil rights law and a voting rights act were good not just for Baptists or Catholics or Jews, but for the whole country. And so you have to win the argument about what's best for the common good. That's the thing that has to be. And that's what Brock said.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to bring your best values, your best convictions, your moral compass to bear. But you have to then have a debate. And now we're not a Christian nation or a Judeo-Christian. There are more Muslims now than Presbyterians in America. Don't tell the Presbyterians.
I was going to say, Reverend Wallace, we haven't gotten to talk in a while. I have to get your take on the whole Reverend Wright controversy, because it seems like the bad news for the right wing is that kind of destroyed the whole he's a crazy Muslim argument, didn't it?
Yeah, he's a member of Black Church. I know Jeremiah Wright, and I know Obama, and, you know, I think there was a media caricature of Jeremiah Wright. Then he went to the press club in Washington, and he kind of did a caricature of himself, you know. So it was a sad thing to see with a man who had such a rich history, and he said things that Obama clearly doesn't believe. But I'll be fair to both sides. Barack Obama and John McCain should not be held accountable for what a religious leader who endorses them says.
Right.
I mean, they should speak for themselves.
Right.
And what they say is what we should hold them accountable to, not what people who have been associated with them or endorsed them have said in the past. That's not fair.
Yes. See Reverend Parsley and Reverend Hagee.
John Hagee.
See enclosed memo.
I think McCain doesn't want to stand for the things those guys say.
Exactly. Exactly. Reverend Jim Wallace, I love you in a deeply non-denominational and spiritual way.
We have an ecumenical relationship.
Yes.
Yes, we do. Thank you so much for taking time for us again.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All right. There he goes. Reverend Jim Wallace, author of God's Politics. Love that man.